Welcome everyone to today's webinar. My name is Serafina Franja and I will be your moderator. Our topic today is 5 key ingredients of social media for your website. This webinar will demonstrate how companies such as Domino's, LifeScript, and The Knot are utilizing social media tools such as Facebook and Twitter to increase the business value of their websites. Please feel free to submit questions at any time during the presentation in the dialogue window on your webinar toolbar, or via the Twitter discussion at #5socialmedia. At the end of the presentation, we'll cover as many questions as we can while staying within our prompt's time allotment of 1 hour. Please note if you have colleagues who cannot attend this presentation, we are recording it and will send everyone a link after the presentation to the recorded webinar on Sitecore.net. Please allow me to introduce our presenter today, Ted Perdomo of Sitecore. With 30-plus years of experience in technology management and consulting, and over 19 years of hands-on Internet experience, Ted has blended his technical and marketing expertise to help organizations harness web technologies to improve business performance. Since 2001, Ted has focused on search engine optimization, web marketing, and now social media, helping companies maximize their exposure on the Internet. Ted is the online marketing and SEO analyst for Sitecore, a leading web content management software company. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you, Serafina, and welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about the hottest topic on the Internet today, social media. And I'm going to show you how you can leverage the popularity of sites like Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn to drive targeted traffic to your website. We're not going to be teaching you how to use Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. Instead, I'm going to show you some case studies of companies that are successfully integrating their social media into their websites, creating extended online communities. First of all, a message. Sitecore is an enterprise-class .NET web content management software company, and we have over 1,800 client installations and over 22,000 websites worldwide. Here's some of our customers. And today I'm going to show you some of our customer sites that are really using social media effectively and integrating it into their websites. So the biggest question I always get is, why should we be using social media? Everyone thinks Facebook and Twitter are just for kids and there really isn't any business value. But if you look at this chart, you see since the beginning of 2009 until now, Facebook has added over 1 billion visitors per month, so now they're actually challenging Google for the top Internet website, getting over 2 billion visitors a month. And YouTube and Twitter are generating almost 500 million visitors per month, so there's lots and lots of traffic out there. These sites are very popular, and businesses are starting to use them and be very successful in generating traffic to their websites. Here's some facts from the Facebook page. They have over 400 million active users right now. And they started in February of 2004 and had 1 million users by the end of 2004. And they were all college students at the time. And they saw the value in this community, so they opened it up to the world. And they're adding thousands of users every day. The statistic that really sticks out for me is the average user spends 55 minutes a day on Facebook. So almost a full hour a day. And Google is one of the more popular sites, and they get 8 minutes a day on average. So Facebook is just way ahead of anyone else in usage per day. Another incredible statistic is 50% of the active users log in almost every day. So that's like every person in Germany, France, and Italy logging in Facebook every day and spending an entire hour. So it's just tremendous value there for anyone. If you can create a community anywhere near as popular as Facebook, or even just use Facebook to drive traffic to your website, you can make a huge impact in your business. Here's an interesting survey from Marketing Profs, where they asked people, are you going to use Twitter for your business? And over 80% of the people surveyed said they're going to increase significantly or increase a little their use of Twitter in the next 6 months. You see in this chart, nobody said they're going to decrease their use of Twitter. So Twitter is turning into a very, very valuable business tool, and businesses are really seeing the value in it. So today we're going to go through the five ingredients. And basically, the ingredients are why your website has to be the core of your social media strategy. I'm going to show you an example of a website that is using social media very effectively. They have a strong presence in Facebook and Twitter, and they drive that traffic to their website. And the second ingredient, I'm going to show you an example of a business that wants to increase sales. So they've integrated their website with social media, and they've done a tremendous job of increasing sales of their product. The third ingredient is all about lead generation. And most business websites now focus on lead generation. So I'm going to show you how one customer has they sell a very, very boring product, and they've generated over 900,000 leads on Facebook. The fourth ingredient is about user-generated content. And I'm going to show you an example of a website that they have professional quality content that they're complementing with user-generated content, and they've created a thriving online community. And last but not least, I'm going to show you how you need to measure your social media. It's much more than just web analytics. There are a lot of factors you need to consider when measuring social media. So I remember the old days when you used to build a website and it had a few static pages that never changed, and you just put it out there and you hoped that the search engines found it even before Google, but you hoped the search engine would find you, and when people searched for your keywords, you'd appear. Or you could run some pay-per-click campaigns, or you could do some maybe online banner ads, but there really weren't that many ways for people to find your website unless you told them about it. So now with social media, you have all these very popular sites with 2 billion visitors a month at Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, there's podcasting, there's like so many ways you can get your name out there on the internet. And if you can drive even 1% of that traffic to your website, it makes a tremendous impact on your business. You're going to see a common theme in our case studies today where the most successful people are focusing their efforts on Twitter, Facebook, blogs, and for B2B, LinkedIn. So what I'm going to do, they don't just drive traffic from Twitter to their website. They don't just go from their blog to their website. They're driving traffic in all directions. They're using all these social media properties to drive traffic to and from each other. So it really casts a very wide net on the internet so people can find you and your products. So if you want to build your perfect website, you'd want to have lots of visitors. They return frequently. They spend a lot of time on your website, and they tell your friends, their friends about your website, and they create content for your website. And that's why Facebook is thriving right now. They meet all this criteria. First case study is lifescript.com, and it's a community for women, mostly U.S. women, where they've built this incredible community online, and they complement it with successful Facebook and Twitter campaigns. So you see on their webpage here, they have lots of information. It's well organized. They have experts, so you can click on different topics, and these always rotate through, so you have lots of different options. They have featured bloggers, they have featured health experts. You get your horoscope here. They always feature what's hot on a lot of pages. And every page you can find a connect with LifeScript, so they make it very easy to join their extended communities. And they feature what's blogging. Here's the hot blog topics. So they're pulling in content from lots of different resources and displaying it here on the homepage. Here's the below the fold of the home page, so they extend. It's a very long home page. They have experts here. They have recipes where you can look up recipes, you can contribute recipes. They do polls. They do YouTube videos and videos that are hosted on their website. And they're always looking at the latest comments on their different communities, so they pull in all this content so you know what people are talking about right now so you can join in the conversations. and they summarize everything on every page too. So they give you lots of ways you can navigate the website and join in different conversations. They make it really easy to connect into their extended communities. They have an entire page dedicated to it. You can join them on Twitter. Their Health Bistro blog is very popular. There's lots of comments and lots of conversation going on there. They have Facebook. And here you see again, connect with LifeScript. They make it very easy. Then they have these comments you can just post or they pull out from content. I was married to a mama's boy and it was hell. So I'm sure people are going to click on that to see what the conversation is, and they're going to jump right in and start complaining about their spouse, I'm sure. LifeScript does an incredible job of engaging the readers and getting them to share their stories. You see here, Janine has shared that she's kicked her smoking habit, and she shares her whole story on how she went through the process. And people are talking about their weight loss, and they're always asking polls, which go on a reality show. Like every page has a poll. They're always gathering information, getting you involved in the website. Then their top 10 lists are very popular also. And there's quizzes, and just every page has lots of ways to interact and gather input from the visitor. So the outcome is they have a very, very interactive, popular website, which they have professional quality content and user-generated. They have a very active blogging community, and if you follow their Twitter stream, they have over 15,000 followers. There's conversations going on all day long. And LifeScript will do a lot of tweets, but the readers will do more tweets. It's probably a 2-to-1 ratio where they're just having conversations and sharing their experiences on Twitter. They also have a very active Facebook community where they have a lot of discussions going on there, and they're very good at leading people from the Facebook community back to the website. And they're starting to use Flickr and FriendFeed now to expand the community even farther. People love to post their pictures on Flickr, so it's a great way to get your website visitors involved. So the second ingredient, how do you unify your business website goals with your social media strategy? The biggest problem I see is a lot of people try to have the website do everything, and they really don't have a clear objective for it. So they think they can generate leads, and they can also have an internal community. They can have product support. They try to do everything, and they don't do anything well then. Most business websites are really focusing on lead generation and driving sales. So you really have to pick just one or two of these and really focus on that. And you can do a little bit of the rest of it, but the website visitor has to, really when they come to your site, they have to really be clear on what you're trying to do. Here's a case study. Basically, Domino's wanted to sell more pizza. The bottom line is they have a lot of competition from Papa John's and Pizza Hut, and you'll see the constant conversations on Twitter about people comparing the three pizzas. And what's interesting is they've done a tremendous job of using social media, but on their web page, there's no social media presence here. You have to scroll all the way down below the fold, and you'll see a little button for their Twitter and Facebook pages. So Domino's listens to their customers from focus groups and from what they gathered on the internet, the conversations going on. They heard the crust tastes like cardboard, the sauce tastes like ketchup, and there's not enough cheese. It was a recurring theme everywhere. So to celebrate their 50th anniversary, they decided to create a whole new recipe based on user feedback. They launched a new website and advertising campaign, and they really engaged their customers using social media. Another thing they do, they use the hashtag new pizza in every campaign. So it's really important. If you search Google for new pizza now with the hashtag, a lot of Domino's ads come up and conversations. So it's really important. It's not just a Twitter thing. You'll see it on their web pages now and in their email correspondence. So here they launched pizzaturnaround.com. Instead of launching this new campaign on Domino's.com, they created a whole new website. And you see the social media presence here. You can get their Twitter and Facebook. You can email a friend. They've used YouTube here. They have their whole story about why they decide, you know, reinvent themselves after 50 years. They have the obvious order now button, which is on every page. They have live Twitter feeds integrated right into the website. And there's a whole series of YouTube videos that they've created, which have been very successful on YouTube. And it tells their story, and users are starting to contribute. Another thing they did was this YouTube campaign where they delivered the new pizza to their harshest critics. So in the focus groups, they filmed these people that were complaining about their pizza. And then they randomly went to the, knocked on their door and just said, the head pizza chef said, I want you to try the new pizza based on the feedback from your focus group. And some people were pretty embarrassed about the things they said, but they have a whole series of videos where they're getting really good feedback from this focus group. They also launched a Twitter campaign. They put these little stencils all over cities on the sidewalks, and if you just take a picture of yourself by this stencil and you tweeted it to @Domino's using the hashtag PizzaPick, you could win a free pizza. So there's a very successful Twitter campaign, and they really engaged their audience. And people just love to tweet about Domino's. I've been following them on my tweet deck, and it's just hilarious to see people all day long at any hour craving Domino's and talking about how much they love it. Like this one, Domino's and wife swap. The only thing that makes this better is Brandon to be here to cuddle me. People just, it's incredible, and most of the tweets are very positive about Domino's. So they have a really, really vocal fan base that loves to share their stories about Domino's. People love to take pictures of their food. It's just amazing. You see lots of people tweeting pictures, and they'll show the pizza before, and then they'll tweet another picture later with the empty box or just one little pizza crust, and just raving about how great it was. So Domino's has done a really good job at engaging their customers and getting them to tweet about their product and spread the word. They have over 432,000 active fans on Facebook. They have contests here. They have promotions. They've done a really good job of getting people to go to Facebook and sign up and be a fan. Fans love to share their pictures of Domino's no matter what it is, so they have lots of pictures on the Facebook page in addition to the ones that they tweet. The outcome is Domino's has done a really good job using YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. They're driving traffic between all the different sites, not always to the website. They even created a separate website for these promotions. So they're really diversifying their traffic, getting the word out, really casting a very wide net on the internet. And they've got raving fans just constantly talking about Domino's. And they're getting instant feedback on the pizza, and they really love this online ordering system. They tweet about it all the time. Says, I just ordered my pizza online. It's wonderful. And you can follow your pizza online from the time it goes in the oven to the time it's delivered. And they're getting special text messages now. They're doing a lot of mobile marketing. They're really, really engaging their audience in a lot of different ways. And it's working extremely well for them. The next ingredient is catching and following more leads to your website. So you have all these social media properties out there. There's thousands of users. How do you get the right people and engage them with all these thousands of visitors and get them to come to your website? This case study is Duck Brand. And we all have this tape at home. It's like just this boring gray tape. I'm sure I have at least three rolls sitting around my house somewhere. It's just, how in the world, why would they want to be funneling leads? What are they trying to generate leads to buy duct tape? They have one product. So the problem is they do have a limited potential market. They've expanded into weather stripping and moving supplies, but essentially they just have very, very limited products. So their solution, they engaged an entire new generation. They set up a Facebook page. They do a lot of tweeting. They have YouTube. And they created a really interactive community on their website. they've come up with creative uses for duct tape. So instead of just having the plain old gray, they've come up with a lot of different colors now. And they teach people how to make different products with it. You can make a wallet with duct tape, and they have a whole series of products that you can make. And now the users are creating their own products and adding them into the community. Here they have their Twitter presence. They have not that many followers, but what they do, they just do a lot of promotion here about their contests. They have a lot of contests, and they really celebrate holidays, Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. And the bomb is coming up, which was their big contest I'll be showing you. They have the Duck Brand channel on YouTube. This is where they have a series of how-to videos. They show you exactly how to make a flip-flop or duct tape belt. You can make flowers. And then the users are trying to contribute content showing the products that they're making. So they're creating this whole new use for duct tape. Here's the most unbelievable fact in my eyes. They have over 900,000 fans on Facebook. So they've generated 900,000 leads. And this very active community on Facebook. People are always talking about the duct tape, what they're doing with it, what they want to do. So they funnel these people from the Facebook page into the website. People love to take pictures and share them on the internet, as we all know. And here are some of the things people are doing with duct tape. It's really, really has expanded their market tremendously. They have the Duct Tape Club. So now they can generate leads here because you need to register on the website to be a member of this club. And this is where the community gets together online and they talk about what they're building and new ideas to use for duct tape. They have lots of user-generated content. As people are making all these new things they're inventing, they're sharing their pictures online. People can comment on it. They can vote on the top rated. So their goal is people want to be in that top rated area and make it really easy to submit your ductivity. They have a blog. They're very active in their blogs, showing you new things you can make. They really interact, give you lots of ideas how you can use duct tape. And here's their big contest. It's the Stuck at Prom contest, where the winners will win $3,000 scholarships. And you have to create your prom outfit completely out of duct tape. And this is the 10th anniversary, and it's very, very popular. So here are some of the outfits people are creating. And they don't just show these pictures. They share their stories on how they came up with the ideas and the whole process of creating these outfits. So it's more than just the end result. They're sharing their entire process. They've really, really engaged these people. The outcome is, from this boring gray tape company, they've really engaged a whole generation of teenagers, so they have a whole new audience to sell products to. They added more colors, and they just keep getting more and more ideas on how people can use duct tape. They're generating thousands and thousands of leads through Facebook and through the website registration and their contests. So they've done a really incredible job of taking a boring product and turning it into a big success story. So ingredient four, how to get the most out of your user-generated content on your website. This case study is The Knot. This is a site for wedding planning. So if you're going to get married, you come to this site and you register and you can share all the details of your wedding. What they've done, they have a lot of professional quality content. So they have wedding photos and, you know, how to select the dress. They have online fashion shows. They have lots of really professional quality content. What they've also done is when you sign up, you register, you get your own profile, and you can create your own blog, and you really can engage in conversations here and contribute content. So here's what the ultimate goal is. They want to be the naughty bride of the week. People really want to become the naughty bride, be the featured bride. So you can upload, here's a sample of their profile. You've got your proposal story you can post. You can pick out your wedding colors. You can put photos. You can join in with friends here. There's lots of community activities. And here's your blog. You see, this person has 2,481 board posts since they joined. So they're really active in this. So that's one of the more active people on it. She just loves talking about her wedding. If you go to the site, you can look it up. She has pictures of the wedding and the whole process. They don't just look at the end result. People share their entire process, everything they're feeling as they're planning their wedding, and all the ups and downs, where they're going to go on their honeymoon, and they upload videos. That's a very, very comprehensive community site. On the site, they have community blogs and feature bloggers. So there's these general topic blogs, and people can contribute all the content they want to it. They can comment. And what they do, they feature some of the more active bloggers. So here, the Fit Bride, she was just one of these community bloggers, and they chose her based on her participation, sharing her stories. She's one of the top bloggers now. So they're featuring her blog content. So they make it really easy to interact on the site. Here's one of the more popular parts of the site. It's they share your proposal. They just love to show the pictures and the whole story about how they got engaged and how romantic it was or how awkward it was. It's just, they make it really easy to submit your proposal story. It's on a lot of different pages here. So here it's more featured members. They just really, the more content you contribute, the more chance you have to be one of the featured. They have the Naughties and they have the Spotlight bloggers, and they have lots of different ways you can become the featured person on the website. So they do a great job of really keeping people engaged, the website. Another great feature of the website is regional vendor reviews. So when you create your profile, it'll pull up lots of different resources for you in your area within 50 or 100 miles of your house. You can choose. If you're doing a wedding in San Francisco here, it gives you the list of the highly rated bridal salons. So as people use these resources, you put your feedback in and you rate it. So you can go to it and say, here's vendors I want to use, here's people I don't want to use. You can sort by price. You can sort by any category you want. You can find the other reception sites, where to buy your dress, where to have your rehearsal party, where to go on your honeymoon. It's this incredible, vibrant community. Here they show current events. They have upcoming weddings. So as the weddings get closer, your wedding gets featured on certain pages. Then you can be the wedding of the week. So this, these women are just so excited to have theirs featured as wedding of the week. And then they also are really good at describing what's hot. So they're pulling in content from all their communities and say, this is what the hot topics are right now on the website. And it can be their Facebook community, their Twitter community. They're just pulling all kinds of information, whatever the most active conversations are. They also have lots of different resource boards. They have, you know, you can talk about anything, ceremony ideas, what are you going to wear, etiquette. And they're very, very active communities here. And they get into more detail. So if you have not just wedding boards, you can get into the culture. There's lots of people talking about, you know, what their wedding song is going to be, and they'll send you emails. If you join their email list, you get daily updates that feature parts of the website. So it drives you from the email into the, like, what are the top wedding songs this month? What are the top wedding, you know, colors? Or where you want to go on honeymoons? So they do a really good job of engaging the users through the daily emails, drive them to the site to interact. They have over 41,000 Facebook fans, so it's a very active community here too. So there's lots of conversations always going on, people asking questions. And they do a great job of, they have somebody moderating this, and then they drive people to the website for more answers. They have lots of popular website resources. They're very easy to find. So here, their community, different products. You're looking for wedding gowns. They make it very easy to go from the Facebook page to the exact page on theknot.com. So you know exactly what you're looking for. You don't waste any time. And there's lots of fan videos people are uploading. People just want to share their wedding story. It's a huge event for them, and they want to share it online. And they have lots of photos on the Facebook page. So they have their own. The Knot creates their own albums of events that they've put on. And then the fans upload their own. You know, they're different. Here's my wedding cake, and here's my dress. And they just love to share these things online. So what the Knot has done very well is let people upload the photos to Facebook, and then it connects them right into the website for more to extend the conversation. And they also post their events here. So you can. This is for the users that are fans. They can post events that they know about in their local area. So it really extends the reach of the community. And they have contests on the Facebook page. Here you can win a honeymoon. So you can enter they're generating leads here, and then they drive people to the website after they sign up for this. If you follow the Knot on Twitter, they have a very active Twitter stream. They have lots and lots of people just talking. They like to share their information on Twitter. They share their pictures. And they also have a lot of contests. So the Knot will tweet some things out there to generate interest, and then all the brides, they had something about win a wedding planner. If you retweet this, the first five people retweet it would get a wedding planner consultation. So there was people for days that kept saying, did I win, did I win? This created an incredible buzz on Twitter. So they're really good at engaging their readers through Twitter. They created the Knot TV on YouTube. So they have a lot of professional videos, and then they also have user-generated. They're doing a really good job here. They have, like, you know, fashion shows and bridal shows. Then the users, they can generate their own content by putting their wedding videos up there and their honeymoon videos. It's growing fast on YouTube. Another thing they've done is once you get married, obviously the next step is you're going to get pregnant and baby. So they created another community called The Bump. This is all for pregnant women. It's just the same idea. It's a place where you can come and ask questions and get answers and connect with other pregnant women. So it's a very, very, very strong community. So it's a great job of extending from the wedding into the pregnancy. And then the next community is The Nest, where you can ask questions about anything, you know, real estate or buying a house or money issues. You know, how should we decorate our house? It's the same. They've extended this community so it impacts the rest of their life, which is really great. And the same, it has the video here. You can upload videos. You can upload pictures. You can ask questions. There's blogs. There's discussion forums. So they've created three really powerful, vibrant communities that are all intertwined. And they're all connected through Facebook and Twitter and through the websites. The outcome, they have actually three very high traffic websites because of the communities. They created these very vibrant, active communities that extend way beyond the websites. So the Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube and the websites are very active, and it's a comprehensive resource for people planning their weddings. And the Knot was SiteCore's 2010 Site of the Year. So the next step is, how do you measure your social media impact? That's always the big question is, are these tweets helping me, or is my blog post helping me? Is it helping my business in any way? People really aren't sure how to measure the impact yet. This marketing prof survey, 70% of the companies surveyed said they're not measuring it adequately. They really don't know where to get started. So it's more than just the analytics numbers. So you can set Google Analytics and measure web traffic, and you'll know how many visitors you're getting, where they're coming from, what pages they viewed, how long they stay, all those numbers. But how do you know if your tweets are doing any good, or how do you know if your Facebook page is helping your website? What's your online reputation? Do we have dead online properties, like an inactive fan page or a LinkedIn group? I mean, if you have a group in Facebook or LinkedIn that aren't active, it's very dead, it's probably doing more harm to your company than good. Because people will go to there and say, you have 10 followers and there's no conversations going on, so how good could your product be? What you have to do is define your success criteria. So, you know, did your online campaign generate more blog posts? So you should know how many people are blogging about your company right now. How many times has your tweet been retweeted, or did that tweet actually generate more traffic to the website? Another good measurement is how many comments do you get on a blog post? If you're blogging every day and you're not getting any comments, either you're not engaging your readers or you're just not blogging about the right topics. And you can view how many discussions occur daily on your Facebook and your LinkedIn groups. Here's a sample measurement from the Super Bowl. There were 38 different brands that advertised on the Super Bowl. 75% of them reported twice as many blog posts about their product on that Super Bowl Sunday compared to Sunday evenings over the previous 6 months. So obviously they've been monitoring the internet to see how many people are writing about their products. So they knew they got 100 blog posts a day or whatever the number is on that Sunday. And after the Super Bowl, they saw that number double. And they also realized that the blog posts in general went from 15,000 to over 25,000. So a lot of people blog about the Super Bowl. So you want to take advantage of that and get your brand out there in these blogs. Get people talking about it through the blogs. So you have to really set up those measurements so you know these statistics and you can see improvement. So when you use your web analytics, you can use Google Analytics for web analytics, and this is the Sitecore Analytics. Basically tells you how many visitors, where they came from, how many pages per visit. So you can get all these website statistics so you know exactly who's coming to your website and how long they're staying and what content they like. The next step is you should be monitoring the PR. People are talking about your company and your brand and your products on the internet, whether it's in Twitter or blogs or wherever, but people are saying the word on the street about you. People are talking about you, so you need to know what people are saying on these different website properties. Two products you can look at, KD Payne, Do-It-Yourself Dashboard, and Telium Social Media are two products. And there's plenty of other products out there. It's really an evolving market. So it's really based on what you want to accomplish and how much you want to pay. There's different price points. Social media monitoring, it's the same thing. What are people saying on Facebook about you? What are people tweeting about you? There are products like Radiant 6 and Meltwater Buzz. They'll just go out there and they scour the internet, all these social media sites. And they really just tell you exactly what people are saying about you. And a lot of them you'll see people tweeting about it. You can click right on it and retweet or tweet right back to them and respond to the conversations going on. So the outcome, you want to define your criteria for success, create your measurement standards, and get the right tools in place. You set up your procedure and process. So you can set your baseline, you know, how successful are your campaigns online right now and how you can improve it. So if you do an online banner campaign to promote something, then you can say, okay, I've got that many more blog posts or that much more traffic to my website based on this campaign. So In summary, the website must be the center of the online marketing activities. You want to be able to drive people to your website, but also drive people between your social media properties. But eventually, you want to get them to your website so you can capture that lead information or sell them the products, whatever your business goals are. You want to design your website so it's easy for the visitors to generate content. You want forums, discussions, any way to you can interact, get them to interact with your website, make it very easy for them to communicate with you and contribute content. Create online communities in Facebook and LinkedIn. If you're doing B2B marketing, focus on LinkedIn. Facebook's getting better for B2B, but it's primarily B2C right now. So just create those online communities and make sure you have somebody driving traffic to it and get people involved. Create discussions over there and drive traffic to those so they will eventually lead to your website. And also, you can use Twitter to drive traffic to your website. And also use Twitter to monitor what people are saying about you. You can do it at search.twitter.com or use like TweetDeck, tools like that, where you can monitor what people are saying about your brand and your company. And last but not least, you really have to measure results. Set up those standards, identify what you want to measure, and measure it, and try to improve those statistics. Serafina?
Ted, we have some great questions today, and I'd like to encourage you all to continue to submit questions using the webinar toolbar throughout this Q&A session or via Twitter at #5socialmedia. If your question is not answered, we will follow up with you on an individual basis. The first question we have here is a question we actually saw several times throughout this session. What are your recommendations for B2B in social media?
Like I said, B2B, what people are doing now, they're engaging people on LinkedIn more than Facebook, and they're using Twitter extensively. And a lot of people now are starting to venture into online video, and they're really getting more involved in blogs. So they'll have their own blogs, and they'll also go to other popular blogs, and they'll start commenting and being guest bloggers so they can contribute content to blogs that are already very popular. And really what's taking off now is mobile marketing. So a lot of B2B marketers are taking advantage of the fact that the cell phones are becoming so smart. There's going to be a lot more engagement of the audience on the mobile phone itself.
Thank you. Next question we have here is, how can I tell if my social media strategy is working? What should I be tracking?
It's different for everyone. It depends what your outcomes. You want to generate leads on your website, and you want to have a presence on Facebook or LinkedIn, or you're trying to engage B2B or B2C. You really have to have a strategy for your website and a social media strategy that matches it. So it doesn't make sense for B2B companies to create only a Facebook presence. You want to use all the different social media aspects and make sure you're driving traffic between your different properties and eventually to your website. But a lot of people really just they try to drive people to their website from these social media properties, and they don't have a real strategy and a way to measure it.
The next question we have here is, how does using Facebook for business differ from using it for personal use?
Facebook is changing rapidly. If you said use Facebook for business even a year ago, people just thought it was a waste of time. But since they've added over 100 million users in the last year, people are saying there is a business value for it, but it's still a pretty wide net. It's really not that focused. Some of the better properties I've seen, we saw some today where they do a good job of setting up a fan page so users can contribute certain content on Facebook, and then they entice them to go to their website to see more similar content or like different content, like they can see blog posts related to the content that they uploaded. So it's creating that fan page and having someone from your company monitor it and really engage people.
Thank you. The next question we have here is, what should I do about complaints or negative feedback that I encounter in social media?
A lot of people think you should, if you have negative blog comments or there's negative things about you on the internet, you should go out there and try to delete it and remove it. And what's happened more is the more successful people embrace that. Like Domino's, they had a lot of complaints online about the taste of their pizza. So instead of just trying to cover that up, they engaged these people, got them into focus groups, found out what they wanted, and now they've just created a whole new pizza that people seem to like a lot more. So they didn't run away from it. And it was like Tiger Woods, there's that big debate now. He didn't say anything for so long. Should he have come right out and just admit it? Like David Letterman admitted right away he did wrong, and he was forgiven right away. Where the Tiger Woods backlash could go on for years.
Thank you. The next question we have here is, but how do I get people to come from sites like Facebook to my site instead?
We saw some good examples here. Sometimes you'll create a contest, like for the honeymoon. You can win your honeymoon. They posted that only on the Facebook page. You couldn't find that contest on the website itself. So you click on that, you enter it, and you can enter the contest by going to the website, a form that's not easily displayed. And a lot of people will ask provocative questions in their Facebook discussions to get people talking about things. It can be even controversial at times. So it's just you want to engage the users there in some kind of conversation or contest so they will respond, and then eventually it drives them to the website.
A lot of your examples were pretty targeted towards women. What if I'm trying to target specific users who are, for example, male educators? Where should I start?
You can start with simple Google searches to find, you can search for male education communities. Just add the word communities or blogs or forums to the Google search, and it'll take you to, there's a lot of vertical communities that exist. One site is Ning.com, N-I-N-G.com, where you can create your own social community in literally 2 minutes. So there's a lot of vertical communities that exist out there, and a lot of times you can just find them through a simple Google search.
Thank you. The next question we have here is, what about blogs? Are they dying out?
No, blogs are actually more popular than ever. I saw a statistic the other day that 40,000 new blogs are launched every day, and most of them don't ever succeed because people don't follow up with them, but blogs are very, very popular, more popular than ever. And what people do is they just, if you're just starting a blog, instead of trying to make yours popular just by posting, you can go to other popular blogs and comment, and you don't try to sell your product or service, you just join in the conversation on these popular blogs, and people will click on your profile name and it will lead them back to your blog or your website. So they get to know you, you build that reputation on already popular websites and blogs, which builds your credibility, and then they come back and find you on your website or blog.
And then a related question we have here is, how do I go about finding influential bloggers?
You can go Google blog search. Just go to Google and type in Google blog search. Or you can go to technorati.com. It's a huge blog directory. It's the largest blog directory out there. And you can find very, very targeted blogs on literally any subject. So it's like Google search engine. You go to Technorati and type in your keywords, and you'll find listings. And Technorati rates your blogs based on the quality of content and user feedback. So you can find really good targeted blogs that are high quality very easily. That's technorati.com.
We have time for a few more questions here. The next question we have here is, looking ahead, what do you think will be the next big social media platform?
Boy, it's hard to say because they're making it so easy to create communities now with sites like Ning.com, and there's hundreds of other sites like that where you can go. It's a pre-built community. You can have discussion groups, built-in blogs, profiles. So there's a lot of open source products out there. There's a lot of proprietary products. It really kind of depends on your price point. And the bottom line is you want to make it as interactive as possible so the users can generate as much content easily. If it's hard for them to use the website, they won't contribute, they'll leave, they'll go to the easier to use websites, like we saw today. These people are contributing so much information to Facebook every day because it's really easy to do.
The next question we have here is, my organization is very direct sales related. How can I convince them of the value of social media?
You can talk about the Duck Brands as one of the most amazing examples, how they generated over 900,000 fans on Facebook, which are basically customers of Duct Tape. So if you can create a community like that, find some different uses for your product, and create communities where you have the raving fans, like Domino's. They take pictures of the pizza. They love to take pictures of their food. They've created these raving fans in these communities just by engaging them and asking them what they like. So it's really just reaching out to them. Don't try to sell to them. It's more about getting them involved in a conversation online where the whole world can see the good and the bad.
We have time for one or two more questions here. The next question is, what are some of the essential components I should have on my own website for social media?
You want to have, like we saw, a lot of the little modules so you can pull content in from different resources. So you want to be able to, if you have a community forum on your website, you want to be able to display some of the content, the first couple lines or the most intriguing conversations. You want to be able to pull in your Twitter feed and display that. You want to be able to display posts from your Facebook group. So you want to be able to lay it out. Like we saw these websites, they had a lot of content in a very small space, but it didn't look cluttered. So it's content management systems work very well for this. They're designed to handle a lot of content and to display small portions of it. So there's a lot of different platforms out there. It's just, it depends on your price point at this time.
Here. The next question we have here is, how do I make my blog or community stand out from the crowd?
It's really not about making it pretty. A lot of sites we saw, they weren't that pretty, but they had a lot. They were easy to navigate, easy to read, and easy to use. And to drive the traffic, like I said, go to the already popular places and join in the social conversations. And don't try to sell yourself. Don't promote yourself. Just join in the conversations. They'll recognize you as one of the experts or one of the top contributors, and then people will find you online. And the more you, with the new Google search, they're going to have a lot. They're seeing Facebook now and Twitter. So all of your social media activity is getting spidered by Google. So if people search Google for your name or your company name or your product, they're going to see a lot of blog posts, tweets, and Facebook questions and answers that you're asking. And LinkedIn answers and questions are showing up there too. So the more you participate in the social media, Google's finding you and putting you at the top of the search engine.
Thank you. And this is about all we have time for today. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. And I'd like to remind you that we will be sending you the link to this presentation so you can pass along to colleagues who may want to review it on demand. Ted, many thanks for this informative and useful session.
Thank you, Serafina, and thank